Hi, it's Amit Marwaha here, Director of Investor Relations and Finance here at Telarian. Today I have joining with me Renee Perong. She is an analyst on our fundamentals and research team. Renee, thanks for joining us today. So a lot of interesting stuff has happened in the last several months since you've joined Telarian. Give us a brief background of what your group does and your background, how you got to this point.
So my group is in the research and strategy organization. We keep an eye on emerging trends in the market, global LNG and cross commodities. So we keep an eye on oil, NGLs, but primarily natural gas and LNG. And what we do is we evaluate data and information to identify trends and create actionable insights that our management team can make quantitative-based decision-making.
Makes sense. Okay, so you're the brains behind a lot of the work that we put together in our corporate presentations and just giving us a fundamental view of what the global markets look like for LNG in particular. It's pretty consensus at this point that we had a strong winter season, much better than people expected. I think what the debate is now is what does second half of 18 look like going into the winter season? Can you talk a bit about that? What's the data looking like at this point, your forecasting and modeling, the chatter that you're hearing overseas and the work that you're doing? What does the setup look like going into second half 18?
Right. So last year there was an enormous amount of demand created in Asia, primarily from the residential and commercial sector in China, in addition to some structural demand from the industrial sector in China and also Korea. What most people don't realize is how inelastic that demand is.
Got
so
it.
You switched over a bunch of homes in primarily northern China, and once you really hook up your home to a natural gas furnace or a natural gas stove, you're not going back to coal. So we see all of the demand that was created in the winter of last year as remaining in the winter of 18. At the same time, you have about 7 new trains coming online this year globally.
Trains being LNG trains.
Correct, okay. LNG trains. And so those trains, we estimate, will create about 16 million tons of new supply in 2018.
Okay.
Overall, we expect 30 million tons of new supply available to the market in 2018.
Okay.
As a total annual basis.
Got it.
And based on the growth that we saw last year in northern Asia and the additional growth that we expect from northern China from policy, the Chinese government has said that they want to convert 7 million households per year to natural gas from coal.
Right.
So there's a large run rate and a large inventory of homes that can be converted. In addition to new power generation, and there's about 12 gigawatts of new power generation capacity coming online in China this year alone.
Mm-hmm.
So we expect that demand to continue to grow in 2018, and the market will have enough supply to be able to fulfill that demand.
Got it. That's really helpful. So you're essentially saying that the demand looks like it's structural as opposed to cyclical.
Correct.
And your run rate for demand continues to see a step change over the last couple of years. So a lot
Correct.
Of that excess supply has been absorbed, and you're seeing continuing demand, which will compound the growth rate going into the next decade. Is that the right way to think about
Correct.
It?
Correct. Very inelastic demand.
Perfect. That's really helpful. Can you talk a bit about the differences in fundamental drivers that are pushing the demand in Asia versus Europe? What does that look like? Because a lot of investors or a lot of people don't get the chance to go around the world and see, you know, on the ground where the demand switching, incremental demand coming. Can you talk a bit about that, the differences between the liquefaction demand in Asia versus Europe?
Right. So in Europe, it's a fairly power-centric story.
Okay.
And it's also depleting reserves.
Okay.
So right now we're seeing in the Netherlands, the government has decided to cap production from the Groningen field, which is one of the oldest natural gas fields in the world. Actually, the reason that most oil or most gas is priced off of oil is a legacy from production in the Groningen fields.
Interesting.
So that's how old this field is.
Right.
And so Northern Europe in particular is seeing a decline in indigenous supply available.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, for instance, we're seeing Russian exports to Europe at a record high. Right now it's about 14 BCFD to fulfill that demand and to refill underground storage capacity.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of demand, Europe is mostly a power story.
Right.
We see a large number of renewables coming online, and it's an environmental story. So if you look at the UK this year, they have pretty much displaced almost all of their coal in their coal-fired power generation by putting in place a carbon price floor.
Mm-hmm.
And over that time, natural gas has taken over coal share in the power market.
Gotcha.
Europe is making similar noises about putting in a carbon price, and carbon prices have increased to about 17 euros per megawatt hour right now.
Gotcha.
Mostly due to policy initiatives. So Europe, it's declining indigenous production and the need for natural gas to provide cleaner, flexible backup to renewables.
Mm-hmm.
And in Asia, as I mentioned before, the story is structural and inelastic demand coming from the residential sector, the residential commercial sector in China, also for environmental initiatives as China needs to clean up its
right.
air, and also from economic growth.
Got
so
it.
We're seeing last year China increased its GDP, and that was one of the reasons we saw such a growth in
Makes
gas
sense.
Demand.
I guess there's been a lot of focus around JKM prices this time of the year, going to the shoulder season, you're trading around $8 to $9. Are you surprised at all? No one's talking about TTF and MBP. It's showing much stronger price levels compared to where we were last year. And any color that you have in terms of what's driving that and how that could look like going into the winter?
Yeah, I really haven't seen much of a relationship between the run-up in TTF prices and Brent prices right now.
Okay.
TTF is up.
Uh-huh.
Which is actually making it more difficult for Europe to refill its depleted gas storage capacity.
Uh-huh.
But we're really not seeing that same relationship between TTF and Brent prices as we are with JKM and Brent prices right
got
now.
Got it, got it. So I guess the last discussion we're hearing a lot out there when we meet with investors and just debate out there in terms of what's the relationship with the run-up in Brent, TI prices, and what that does to liquefaction and natural gas prices in terms of exports. Can you talk a bit about what that relationship looks like? Do you think it'll tighten up further into the second half of the year? What does that look like on average? How should people think about that relationship?
Great question. So right now, for winter of 18-19, we're seeing JKM prices trade at about 13% to Brent based on the current forward curve.
Okay.
That could go higher. So right now, the last I saw from the broker data is that JKM is about $10 delivered into Asia January,
okay,
which I think is a little bit low. I think
okay.
we could see prices go as high as $12,
$13. Wow, so you're saying $12 to $13 potentially landed gas prices into Asia
this
in
winter.
January 2019?
Correct.
Wow, that's a pretty high number.
Yeah. Part of that has to do with the fact that, like I say, there's a lot of delays in new trains coming online.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said, there's only about 7 trains coming online this year. A couple of trains that we expected to be online in 2018 have been delayed to 2019.
Gotcha.
So assuming that we see continuing decline in legacy production from some other existing LNG facilities, there might not be enough supply available to satisfy growing demand.
Gotcha. And just one last point. How does the logistics, the transportation of shipping supply, how does that look like? We're seeing day rates kind of leveling off here in the shoulder season. Is there any concerns for ships potentially being short into the winter this year as well? Or
that is a possibility. Day rates are relatively low right now. I think they're actually lower in the Atlantic lower in Asia Pacific than they are in the Atlantic Basin right now.
Yeah.
But the arb is still there between JKM and TTF. So
it'll
be really interesting to see how that progresses this winter.
That's really helpful, Renee. Thanks for coming in. Hopefully, our audience, this color helps out a bit here. But thanks again for your time.
Thanks.
See you soon.
Pleasure.